Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Dan Foster of National Review Online is in for Jim today. And Dan, a lot of polling news that we're going to be talking about today, another of which is good news for conservatives, especially if you're hoping that President Obama loses next year. And if you're a conservative, that's probably a pretty safe bet. A little bit earlier in the week, you and I talked about the generic poll, and maybe it was Jim and I last week, actually, that showed that a generic Republican was ahead of President Obama 44% to 39%, which is obviously a pretty good sign, even though
if only we could find that generic Republican.
That's right. Now, Bloomberg is showing that when it comes to the economy obviously being the major issue, only 30% of Americans are apparently ready to absolutely reelect the president. 36% say no. And in the all-important independent category, only 23% think that they're very likely to reelect the president, with 36% saying they're actively looking for somebody else to support in the race. So obviously, Dan, we don't know exactly how this will shake out since we don't know who the Republican nominee is yet, so we don't know how the head-to-head matchup will shake out. But seeing the president's numbers that low has got to give conservatives and Republicans a pretty good head of steam heading into this process.
Yeah, I think it's definitely good electoral news for the Republicans. But you know what? I come at this from a little bit of a different angle. What's the goal of every first-term presidency, right? A second term. So when I look at these numbers, what it makes me think about is an answer to a question I've been asking myself for the last 2 years and change, which is, what would be worse if the Obama administration had pursued its economic agenda out of a cynical desire to enact a number of favorite liberal policies without any real concern for what the economic outcomes would be, or if they actually believe this stuff, right? And I think that these numbers reveal that the latter is the case, that President Obama, I mean, this is a guy who said that last year we were in recovery summer, and who told a CBS News anchor in 2009 that if he hadn't turned the economy around by the end of 2011, then he'd be a one-term president. So, every indication I have now, and this poll further confirms it, is that these guys actually believed their own hype, that they believed that the policies they enacted would lead to a turnaround. And that's scary because they've had the exact opposite effect. And guess what? You know, they put their faith in these policies, and they are reaping the benefits of that with polling like this.
Well, Dan, if Debbie Wasserman Schultz is to be believed, Obama's made good on that promise. In fact, he has turned the economy around, which is...
He's turned the economy upside down, I guess. It's not quite the same as around.
Exactly. I was talking to Congressman Louie Gohmert yesterday, and he said in response to that quote from Debbie Wasserman Schultz, well, I guess she's right in a way, since it looked like we were starting to recover a little bit, and now we're clearly headed in the opposite direction. So,
right,
yes,
exactly.
It has turned around. On to Martini number two now, and this is a story that's obviously going to get most of the play today, and especially into the evening as the president gives a primetime address on his proposed changes towards our policy in Afghanistan. He's reportedly going to call for a pretty quick drawdown of about 10,000 troops by the end of next year. Pretty much all the troops he added in the surge that he announced at the end of 2009 will be gone, and supposedly the end of the U.S. mission in Afghanistan will be 2014. There is yet to be a real concrete explanation, Dan, in my mind, as to what exactly the surge has accomplished compared to what was the stated goal about a year and a half ago. And it's very interesting that just as the president's poll numbers, like we just mentioned, seem to be slipping more and more, looks like he might be trying to reach out to his base for some political help here by winding this war down, even though he's really not as quickly as they'd like to. So it's very complicated. And I think just a lot of people are still wondering, aren't results the real barometer of what our next set of actions ought to be in Afghanistan?
Yeah, I think that, at the time when President Obama announced the surge, I thought it was an act of political courage as somebody who's ambivalent on our mission in Afghanistan, but would rather see us follow it through than pull out from an untenable situation. I thought it was politically courageous. But what you're seeing now is, pretty classic presidential playbook, which is when things are going to be painful or unpleasant, you push their time horizons out past your administration, either your current administration or even 8 years. We saw that with the president's so-called deficit reduction plan, which had the novelty of being scored over 12 years instead of over 10, like every other plan out there. And you see it with Obamacare, which really only comes into effect after the presidential election of 2012. Now here we have the opposite kind of thinking, which is that despite the situation on the ground, despite the advice from my generals, I'm going to make sure that I've got movement before Election Day in 2012 so that I can point to my base and say, hey, I ended the war in Iraq and now I'm ending it in Afghanistan. I think it's pretty cynical. It's driven by politics, and that's a shame.
It certainly is. We'll see exactly what he has to say tonight. But it's also very interesting, you know, as we kind of pile on the president here, a lot of the Republicans in that New Hampshire debate seem to want absolutely nothing left to do with this mission either. So I don't know if it's just war fatigue or whether they think it's unpopular to the point where they can't get behind it from a political perspective. But it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of daylight necessarily between the president and the Republicans on this one.
No, I think there is war fatigue. And like I said, I think there are good reasons to be skeptical about our mission in Afghanistan, but that does not mean that, you know, we've talked about whether generals should be leading the president on military policy or whether, as Ron Paul said in that debate, I'm the commander in chief. I tell the generals what the mission is. You know, he sort of turned the idea of ignoring your generals on its head. And I think that's well and good. But the way it works is this: the president gives the generals the political goals and the generals come up with the military means to pursue them. We have to wonder, what are the political goals that President Obama has set or will set tonight for the mission in Afghanistan? And is he ignoring the advice of generals, of his generals, on accomplishing those goals? I mean, that's the important question. If we change the definition of the mission in Afghanistan to something a little bit more modest, a little bit more manageable than nation building, well, that's one thing, and we can talk about the validity of the mission in those terms. But we just have to make sure that he's listening to the advice on his generals for the best military means to pursue the political goals he sets.
Well, we're talking with Dan Foster of National Review and for Jim Garrity today. And Dan, you may remember back in 2008, the president had a number of foreign policy objectives. One was to fight the right war in Afghanistan and see that on to a successful conclusion. Well, I guess let the American people decide if that's what's happened so far. The other thing was that he's going to set a new tone in the Middle East, one of humility and one of building bridges where things have been broken in the past, mainly saying that the Bush administration burned a lot of diplomatic bridges. Well, it's good to see that paying off because a new poll commissioned by the International Peace Institute, which is a New York-based think tank, commissioned a pretty interesting poll in Egypt, where, of course, the president had a lot to say as all the events were unfolding there in recent months. The president has a 12% approval rating in Egypt, down from 25% when he took office. More alarming, Osama bin Laden's approval rating, even in death, is 21%. So to suggest that the president has really kind of revamped America's foreign policy and strengthened ties with a volatile part of the world seems like it's fallen a little bit short when 7 out of 8 people in perhaps one of the more moderate countries in the Middle East don't seem to like him very much. The good news is, though, that he's still twice as popular as Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. So I guess there is a silver lining here somewhere.
Yeah, maybe the respondents were confused and they thought the question was, did they approve of Osama bin Laden's death? I mean, we can only hope, right? But I think what this points to is the fact that the United States is always going to be the designated criminal in the Middle East. Damned if we do, damned if we don't. Look at what happened in Libya with the rebels on the ground. Please, for the love of God, help us. We're being slaughtered. First NATO bomb drops. You know, and already the complaints start. You know, no American imperialism. You're hitting the rebels. You're hitting civilian populations. I mean, the Middle East is always going to be this briar patch that's going to be difficult to negotiate for America. But the last thing you said is what I take heart in, at least a little bit, and the approval ratings for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And I think it points to what the dynamic is here, which is just all throughout the Middle East, equal levels of scorn and contempt for kind of domestic strongmen and dictators, the devil you know, and also for American intervention. Now, whether those two things are coherent, whether it's logical to despise both at the same time or not, is a separate question. But I think that's the dynamic that's playing out. When Ahmadinejad is a third again as popular as Obama, especially when he was as recently as 2008, far more popular than America in the Middle East, that tells you that the sentiment there is very much anti-dictatorial, anti-totalitarian, and that, you know, maybe we're going to have to sit this one out and let them sort it out themselves.
Yeah, it'll be a novel concept. Dan, have a great day. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks a lot.
Dan Foster of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us tomorrow for the next 3 Martini Lunch.